So, my name is Paul. I am one of the high school ministry leaders, and I've been doing it for a little while. Me and my wife lead high school ministry, and it is a real blessing. I think I try to do other things, but I just realize that I'm just a teenager, so I should just do that because that's what I'm good at. I'm more of a teenager than the teenagers, so that's the real key to high school ministry. So today we're going to do a topic about an invitation or a compelling invitation. And I know I'm not the only one that gets a lot of invitations. We live in a time of mass communication, like Facebook events. Way back in the 10 years ago, Facebook events. I have so many Facebook events. You're invited to everything. If you didn't know, you're invited to everything. Just look at your Facebook. I remember when I was in high school, I had a party, and I just went on my entire friends list and invited everyone. It was like 2,000 people. My parents didn't know how many people I invited to our house until they started showing up. But, back in the day, if you remember when you were younger, getting an invite was a big deal. You know, when we'd go into like somebody's 10th birthday party, it was like, you know, like, wow, I invited them. Or you invite them because you think if I invite them, then they'll invite me. And I got to go to all the parties. If you didn't get invited, I mean, that's detrimental. You're like, oh, I didn't get invited. Man. Sometimes we want to be invited just so we can say no. I'm like, no, I'm too busy, but thanks for the invite. I feel appreciated. I feel included. But yeah, I mean, we get so many invites. We have so much to do. I know I'm not the only one. You know, back then when you were a kid, all you had to do was go to a party. And now it seems like going to a party is like a chore. You're like, oh, you come up with all these excuses not to go. You have other things to do. The list of excuses is long, and we are all familiar with it because we're all busy, you know? And sometimes when you do find time that you don't have anything to do, you just want to do nothing. You don't really want to do another thing, even though it's a party. Seems like, man, like, what a unfortunate thing. You have to go to another party. But sometimes it is. It's just too much, you know? It's just too much. So I looked up, you know, we live in this time of busyness. I looked up some of the best excuses that I could find. If you need some, or maybe you're familiar with some of these. Okay, you guys ready for these? All right, so you have the classic, I have to work. Duh, no one can argue with that. I mean, we all have to work. We all have to make money. That's a good excuse. It's a solid excuse. I have so many dishes to do. Boy, is that real. My goodness. I mean, that could take hours. If you have kids, if you don't have a dishwasher, man, it's a lot of work. I have a package I have to sign for. This is true nowadays with big deliveries. You know, you got to be there. Hey, I got this package. I really don't know if I can make it. I have a headache. You know, we all been there. Got a headache. Can't make it. I can't find my keys. I mean, this is pretty pathetic, but it works. How are you going to get there? I don't have keys. Yeah, what am I going to do? Or I'm locked out. You know, you could call the locksmith, but it's too late. I mean, who's going to call a locksmith nowadays? You're locked out of your house. Oh, well, can't make it. I totally missed this. This is the one where, like, they texted you 4 hours earlier, and you like, intentionally didn't respond, and then you text them after, and he's like, oh, I just saw this. I'm already committed to this work thing. I can't make it. So sorry. It's raining. I mean, obviously, you can only use this one if it's raining. You don't want to try to use that if it's not raining. That doesn't make any sense. But if it's an outdoor event, you could use that one. I totally forgot we had plans. You know, you could say that. My dog is throwing up. Now, this one, I mean, of course, you could leave a throwing up dog at home, but that's pretty cruel, even more cruel than lying about it. I'm not sure. The Uber pricing is surging. It's a little too expensive to call a taxi right now. I can't afford it. A couple more. How about, I had a burrito for dinner, and I can't move now. Now, if you're going to use this one, at least indulge in a burrito. I mean, just enjoy the comatose state that you might be in. My kid is sick. You know, you could always use your kids for a lot of excuses. There's you know, it's one of the perks of having children, besides just the joy and love that you get with having children. You can use them for excuses. I'm too upset about the state of the country right now to go out. I'm just mentally disturbed. I don't know. That one, hopefully we're past that one. I think we've over the hump there. This is the last one, and this is probably the worst one, but I got bad diarrhea. I mean, what am I going to do? You know, and nobody's going to try to, you know, why would you even lie about that, first of all? That's embarrassing. So, yeah, I mean, we're familiar with this, right? I mean, often maybe we're the ones that are giving the excuses, and we all know it's an excuse. And to say that I'm busy, it's like, I always hate saying that. I hate telling somebody I can't come. It's like the worst part for me. Because it implies that, like, they don't have a, like, I'm too busy, I can't come. Well, everybody's busy. Well, we can't do everything, right? And sometimes an invitation requires you to be compelled to go. Maybe it's coming from a friend that you haven't seen in a while. Well, let's say it's coming from somebody you've never met. And they're just, you know, they call these cold invitations, right? You get a phone call or a letter in the mail or a Facebook invite. You're not very compelled to go. You know, especially if it doesn't tell you why you should go. Sometimes we need that extra, you know, the energy that comes behind an invitation to be convinced that we should go there, to drop what we're doing, to put that off until later and attend this thing that we've been invited to. And today I want to look at a time when Jesus was invited to a party. It's in the book of Luke, chapter 14. And you see that Jesus is invited to a dinner party of some very high ups in society. Maybe you could think of like the Columbus mayor and the CEO business leaders of Columbus having a big dinner party. And maybe, you know, imagine being invited to that. Like that's like a high prestigious honor. Jesus was somewhat of a celebrity at the time, a controversial figure in the culture, and they invited him. And Jesus often responded to invitations. He never really turned down a time to eat and hang out with people. And he even knew getting invited to this dinner was actually somewhat of a setup. They had set him up a little bit. It was a Sabbath. And they invited him over, and they had this man there who was sick, and they wanted to see if he would heal him. And of course, Jesus did. And he kind of calls him out a little bit. He said, "What do you, you know, would you not help your son out of a well if he fell on the Sabbath? Like, we're here to help people. Man was not meant to serve Sabbath, but the other way around." So Jesus kind of gets through that. And he then begins to share some party etiquette with the folks at the party. He addresses the party host, and he says, you know, if you have a party, if you're the host, don't just invite your friends and family and people who can repay the favor, but invite the people who can't repay the favor. You know, the outcasts of society, the poor and the homeless and the criminals and the illegal immigrants and the prostitutes. Invite those people into your home, because even though they can't repay you, you will be greatly blessed when we are all called home. When the just are called home. And so, you know, that was a little convicting. Jesus said that to the party host, and everybody was listening at the party because Jesus had captured their attention at this point by healing somebody. And so he shares this. And so we're going to jump into this, and if you have your Bibles, in Luke 14. And so we're jumping down to verse 15. So this kind of triggered a response from the guests when Jesus said this. They were like, "What?" And this one guy, maybe he was trying to impress Jesus. Maybe he said it as like a sneer comment. It's really not clear. But he says, "Well, how fortunate the one who gets to eat in the kingdom of God. How blessed the one who must be that gets to go to the kingdom of God party, Jesus." You know, I mean, you're talking about inviting everybody. How blessed are the ones who get to go and dine with the king? And so Jesus tells this story that we're going to focus on today. And it's called the Great Banquet. And I like to think of it as the compelling invitation. And so we're going to jump down here, and it says, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And the time for the banquet had come, the master sent his servant, and he said, tell all of those who have been invited, everything is now ready. Come and eat. The party is ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said to him, I have just bought a field, and I must go and see it. Please have me excused. The next one said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I must go examine them. Please have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. That one's... No, I get it. Yeah, I don't know. So the servant came and reported these things to his master, and the master became very angry, and he said to his servant, you know what? Go now, quickly, to all of the streets and the lanes of the city. Bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. And the servant said, what you have done, what you have commanded has been done, and still there is room for the party. And he said, all right, go now to the highways and the hedges, to the outskirts of the city, and compel the people to come, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of these men who were invited shall taste of my banquet. So there's definitely some interesting points going on here. I just want to, you know, take a moment to try to examine what's happening. I think Jesus is telling this story, and I think that the host in the story is God. The party is the kingdom of God, the heavens party. All right, so just take a moment right now. I want you to think about, maybe think about the best party you've ever been to. Okay, think about the best party you've ever been to. You're probably thinking, oh, is that an appropriate party? Probably not. It was probably, you know, maybe you forgot about it. Think about the best party, though. Think about a party that you maybe have always wanted to go to, or a giant festival where everybody was there and there was food and drink and music and it went on forever. Biggest party ever. That's the kind of party that Jesus is talking about right now, the God of the universe party. This isn't a party you want to miss out on. Now, I've had a lot of invitations, guys, and honestly, it isn't usually the parties that I go to that I remember. Sometimes it's the parties that I missed out on, and I'm like, oh, dude. They post the photos afterwards, and I'm like, oh, my friends were there, and they were having such a fun time. This party was so cool, and I didn't get to go. Like, this party, we're talking about, like, a cool party. But yet we see that the servant goes out, and what happens? He goes to tell the people who were invited that the time for the party has come. And what, they give you these lame excuses. And guys, these are pretty lame excuses. Maybe even lamer than the excuses that I brought up earlier. Like, I bought a field and I need to go look at it. Okay, is that field changing anytime in the next, like, it's not. It's, you can wait on that, dude. Come on. I bought some oxen and I need to go inspect them. I mean, it's reasonable, but it's still lame. I mean, Jesus is clearly bringing up excuses that are not very convincing. Especially, I've been married and I need to go see my wife. I mean, you know, we know who runs the house sometimes, and it's, you know, if you don't get the okay from the wife, you're probably not going to the party, guys. But still, like, that's not a very good excuse. And I think that's what Jesus is trying to say. God, the God of the universe, is having the best party ever, and the people he invited aren't even coming because they have two important, seemingly important things to do. So instead, what happens? The host says, go now. I want you to invite the outcasts of society, the people who could never repay me for this great party. I want you to invite the people who are hungry, who have something, need something to eat. The crippled and the lame, the criminals, the illegal immigrants, the prostitutes, the sex workers. I want you to go out and invite them. Tell them to come to my party. And so he does, the servant, no question, he does this. But yet there's still room. And so you see, I mean, not that God's party is probably ever hits capacity, right? I mean, he's the God of the universe. I'm sure, you know, everybody can come. But God says, my desire is that the party is full. It's pretty obvious that God's desire is for his party to be full. So he says, go again. I want you to go out to the furthest parts of the city, to the highways and to the hedges, to the people who nobody talks to, hiding people, people who don't want to be seen, people who are afraid and ashamed of themselves, the shut-ins. And I want you to go there and compel them to come. Convince them that they need to be here. I love that. I love that. Compel. You know, give them all the reasons they need to come. Convince them that they don't want to miss this. And so he does. And then the story kind of ends on a downbeat, right? He says, you know, the people that I did invite, they're never going to know how great this party was. They're never going to taste and see the things that I had planned. So in closing, the question that I think I take away from this is, you know, who are we in this story? Where do you find yourself in this story? You know, are we the servant? Are we following the commands of the master without question? The servant never once questions the master. He just responds obediently. He goes and invites those and compels those. You know, are we the invited people? Are we the ones that were invited and yet we continue to come up with these excuses as to why we can't come because it seems like we have a lot of important things to do and I don't have time for that right now? Are we the misfits? Are we the outcasts? You know, are we the ones that don't feel like we should be able to go or don't feel like we're ever invited? And, you know, but yet we are. You know, maybe that's who we're relating to. Or maybe, you know, maybe we're the people that are hiding in the outskirts. And here comes the servant coming to invite us. And I think the reality is we can all relate to all of those things, right? I definitely can. And so I think the takeaway is this, that we should be like the servant, right? In this scenario, I think Jesus is the servant. And we should be like him. No question. We know that the party is on, right? And we should go out and we should invite those who don't feel like they belong and convince those. That's who we should be like. And we should realize that we are the outcasts. And that heaven's party, guys, it was exclusive. It was by invitation only. And only those who had not sinned were coming. And none of us were on that list. But yet, the servant comes and tells us that we are invited. We get to come. That should be an awe-inspiring moment. You get to come to the party. You know, we are the crippled, the lame, the broken, the sinners, the addicted, the anxious, the fearful. Like, that's us. But we get to go to the party. And then lastly, we should be the ones that are compelled to go, the ones that are convinced, you know, oh my goodness, I should be there. And then lastly, guys, we don't want to be the invited guest who have convinced themselves that they have too much to do, or they're too busy and they're too important to come and party with God. We're too busy, we have too much to do, we're too good. And he was addressing a crowd where this would have hit hard. These were men, the Jewish community. I mean, these were the men that Jesus was saying, you were invited. You know, God called you guys, and yet you still are finding excuses not to come. Like I said, you don't always remember all the parties you go to. But when you miss out on a party, that's will never leave your memory. I missed a wedding, a friend of mine, his wedding, and I was doing something, and I got a text from one of my other friends. He said, hey, where you at? I was like, what are you talking about? I was with my other friend playing music. Wait, I don't know. He's like, where are you? You're supposed to be here. And I'm like, all of a sudden, it just hit me like a sack of bricks. I just was like, oh, I missed his wedding. It was too far away. I couldn't make it. It was too late. It was too late, guys. I missed it. And you know, I still struggle with this. To this day, every time I see them, I'm like, dude, I'm so sorry. I missed your wedding. No, don't worry about it. But I'm like, in my mind, it was the worst thing ever. So we're going to close up here, but I want you guys to think about this, that we were all invited, the outcasts, the misfits. We were invited to come and party with God, the greatest party in the universe. We don't want to miss this, because when the time comes and it's too late, it will be too late. You don't want to live with that. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to go into a time of worship. And Lord, I thank you. I thank you for this amazing parable that you told that was so good, that it causes us to realize how awesome it is to be invited into this opportunity to hang out with you, Jesus, the God of the universe. And I just pray that we never forget this, that we're constantly compelled, and that we, out of that, we can't help but just go out into the world and be like you and invite others and compel others to come and join in this awesome adventure that you've called us into. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.